chairman of the government of the Russian Federation, Mr. Mustafa Bass, secretary to the government of the Nigerian Federation, representing the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria as chair of the General Meeting of Shareholders of Afreximbank, Mr. Albert Mushenga, representing the chairman of the African Union Commission, His Excellency President Obasanjo, the former Vice President of Nigeria is also here, Lat Sambu, Honorable Ministers, Your Excellencies, Ambassadors and Heads of Diplomatic Missions, Mr. Pierre Gusselin, representing the President of the African Development Bank, Heads of and Representatives of International Organizations here present, Honorable Parliamentarians, Governors of Central Banks, Distinguished Representatives of Afreximbank Shareholders, Mr. Slepnev, the Director General of Russia Export Center, members of the Board of Directors of the African Export Import Bank, Mr. Christopher Dodu and Jean-Louis Accra, former presidents of the African Export Import Bank, distinguished bankers and corporate leaders from Africa and Russia, Executive Vice Presidents, Management and Staff of Afreximbank, my dear wife Shelo has come to support me here today. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, Africa straddles the East and the West, constantly illuminated by the sun as it rises from the East and sets in the West. Today, the sun shines bright as it rises once again from the East. Russia joins the path well trodden by China and India to forge a new partnership with Africa. A relationship built on trust and a felt need for mutual prosperity. In a world being torn apart by internal divisions, isolationism, and nationalistic instincts, any handshake across borders, across the seas, must be applauded. So today, we applaud the people and the government of the Russian Federation under the leadership of His Excellency President Vladimir Putin for fostering a new Africa, for fostering a new Africa-Russia partnership. A partnership that will this time be driven by increased trade and investment relations. We thank President Putin for using the occasion of the 26th Annual General Meeting of Shareholders of Afreximbank to set the stage for the new journey the Russian Federation has decided to embark upon with Africa. We welcome the decision by the government of Russia to host the first ever Russia-Africa Summit in Sochi in October this year. Together, these two events will generate a confluence of ideas and partnerships that will form a solid foundation for a strong Russia-Africa economic cooperation. We thank His Excellency Chairman Dmitry Medvedev, the head of the government of the Russian Federation, for finding the time from his very busy schedule to join us here today. His presence is a clear evidence of the seriousness the Russian Federation attaches to Russia's relationship with Africa and Afreximbank. Moscow is a lovely and inspirational city. I'm sure many of us will live here with fond memories. As Alexander Pushkin, the great Russian poet of African descent, electrified Russia with lines of love and affection, so will our visit to Moscow be long remembered for the true friendship it will forge. Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, this is the second time in 26 years that Afreximbank is holding its annual meetings outside the shores of Africa, the first being in Beijing, China in 2011. While there are so many reasons why Moscow can be irresistible, the overriding consideration was a shared appreciation across Africa and Russia that a revival of bilateral trade and investment relations will be of great mutual benefit. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, some 60 years ago, Africans began to roll back colonialism and independent African nation states began to emerge. With courage, bravery and extraordinary personal sacrifices, Africans fought hard for their political emancipation and prevailed, so that today across the swath of land called Africa, Africans can walk around in freedom, own properties, and choose their leaders. In the struggle for independence, Africa relied on many friends. The Soviet Union was a solid supporter, providing both material and political support, especially at the United Nations. So as we gather here today, as proud representatives of independent African states, we must not forget the pivotal role of the Russian Federation in enabling the freedom we enjoy. Thank you very much, Russia. But as we convey our appreciation, we must quickly add that the struggle is not yet over. It cannot be over when Africa lags behind in all measures of economic progress and human development. How can it be over when our youth are abandoning the vast riches and opportunities in Africa and departing in groups to Europe and elsewhere, sometimes at great risk to their lives? Is it a good sign that in the past, Africa was depopulated by slavery, that Africans were taken away by force, but today, the same Africans are abandoning the land they shed sweat and blood to reclaim? Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, even as political independence dawned, those with a foresight knew that attaining economic independence and the prosperity many hoped for would be difficult. Africa emerged at independence as a fragmented continent of many states of varying sizes. Infrastructure and systems were designed to maintain trade and economic relations with the old colonial powers and not the neighboring countries. Trade relations were structured to perpetuate commodity dependence and discourage interregional trade. In many cases, the educational system was designed to make the Africans ready tools of the old system. In what he called the miseducation of the Negro, the historian Carter Woodson wrote, and I quote, "When you control a man's mind, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not need to send him to the back door. he will go without being told. In fact, if there's no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit. His education makes it necessary. It is the apparent difficulty of extricating itself from these pre-independence constructs that has kept Africa down. 60 years post-independence, the continent still accounts for a paltry 2.5% of global trade, despite accounting for 16% of global population. Africa remains the continent that trades the least with itself, with inter-African trade at just about 16% of Africa's total trade. It is obvious that these conditions are unsustainable and cannot be allowed to persist. Not in a continent with abundance of resources, including 90% of global cobalt deposits, a mineral critical in a world that will be increasingly be battery driven. A continent that controls 60% of world's usable arable land, positioning it as the future breadbasket of the world. A continent that has the fastest growing youth population in the world, with 60% of the youth of the population under the age of 24. And a continent with a rapidly growing middle class estimated at over 400 million by 2030, making it a future global powerhouse in terms of consumption. African leaders have now begun to rise to the challenge to reinvent the future, committing to the epic battle to take back control of the continent's economy. They have begun the process of reverse engineering the construct that has for over five decades tethered the continent to the roots of poverty. A bold integration initiative, the Afro-Continental Free Trade Area Agreement, signed in March 2018, has received the requisite 22 ratifications and has now come into force. The FCFTA represents the most consequential move that can place the continent on the path to economic prosperity, as it will create an integrated market of 1.2 billion people and $2.5 trillion in GDP. All of a sudden, the fragmentation and balkanization that had been at the root of Africa's underdevelopment appears to be destined to the dustbin of history. So, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, a revolution is sweeping across the African continent without bloodshed or conflict. It is peaceful and will fundamentally alter our world, shatter old assumptions, and reshape our lives. It is easy to underestimate, as it is not accompanied by banners or fanfare. The revolutionaries are of a different breed. Instead of being trained in military camps, the freedom fighters for this new battle are being trained in technical schools and universities. Instead of fighting in trenches, this battle will be fought in factory floors and tech incubation centers. Instead of guns, the battle will be fought with ideas, hard work, and investments. While bravery was required for the political struggle that brought independence, courage is a necessity for the economic liberation struggle. Tech are not armed guerrillas. Ideas are not bullets. We represent the potent force for victory in this new struggle. And as with the political struggle, Africa needs partners that can support it to prevail. The partnership we seek is one beyond aid and grant, but one founded on mutual respect and trust, win-win economic cooperation, and pursuit of shared prosperity. It is with this realization in mind that we call on partners from all corners of the world who share the vision of the continent and of Afreximbank to join with us to push forward the new agenda for Africa. Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, the Russian Federation represents one of such partners that Africa looks up to. Just as the famous Patrice Lumumba University in Russia trained some of the engineers, teachers and scientists Africa needed at independence, Russian technical schools and universities can increase their intake of Africans beyond the current 15,000 at various Russian universities today. Russia can be a source of investment goods that Africa needs to develop its infrastructure. Russia can transfer critical technology in digitization as well as in mining and processing of raw materials. Russia can be a source of non-debt creating investments that Africa needs in key areas such as rail, manufacturing, cybersecurity, aviation, healthcare, petrochemicals, and so on. And there is no reason why two-way trade, which at 2018 levels of about $22 billion is far below potential, cannot be increased rapidly. Excellencies, Afrizen believes that the Russia-Africa bilateral trade flows can easily exceed $40 billion in the next 3 years. There are so many factors and indicators that support our forecast. Since the past 3 years, when Russia began to re-engage actively with Africa, trade values have risen rapidly, with two-way trade rising by about 70% between 2017 and 2018. Russia is also making concerted efforts to promote the trade and investment relations with Africa. In 2017, Russia Export Center joined the shareholding of Afreximbank, providing an institutional platform for promoting Africa-Russia trade. That partnership has seen Afreximbank and Russia Export Center jointly supporting the import of critical fertilizer needs by Zambia and Zimbabwe. Our two institutions are collaborating in implementing mining projects with added processing capacities in Sierra Leone and Zimbabwe, as well as in facilitating discussions for the establishment of a petrochemical plant in Angola and Nigeria under joint ventures between Russian and Angolan entities. Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, in less than 2 years of our collaboration with Russia Export Center, projects and trade deals amounting to over $5 billion have been supported and under consideration. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. Under a memorandum of understanding, Afreximbank entered into with Russian Railways, we see the active participation of Russia in rebuilding Africa's rail infrastructure, just as Russian aviation companies are exploring new markets across the continent. I believe firmly that the future of Russia-Africa trade and investment relations is very bright. Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I will be providing Afreximbank shareholders with a full report on the operations and financial performance of the bank in 2018 at a closed session tomorrow. Permit me, however, to share a few highlights this morning. In this regard, I'm pleased to report that our present bank remains strong, profitable, and relevant to the developmental aspirations of Africa. Intra-African trade and regional integration remain the arrowhead of our effort in line with the bank's current five-year strategy, dubbed Impact 2021 Africa Transformed. As a result, the bank worked closely with the African Union to deliver on the goals of the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement. We made this choice fully aware that it is an integrated Africa that can unleash the full potentials of the continent. Through the various technology-driven initiatives, the bank is working on to reduce key constraints in African trade and investment. We are promoting a number of game-changing initiatives. Emphasis on tackling lack of regional payment infrastructure that raises transaction costs in inter-African trade. We also laying emphasis to improve access to trade information, to trade infrastructure that will enable seamless conduct of customer due diligence on African counterparties, and improving the efficiency of transporting goods across Africa's numerous land borders. Afreximbank has completed the development of a Pan-African payment and settlement system that will enable inter-African trade to be sold for in African currencies. With that system, we will localize inter-African trade in terms of currency. So trading within Africa will be like trading locally. Through the system, we will reduce the transaction costs in inter-regional payments and hopefully formalize the significant proportion of the $40 to $50 billion in informal inter-African trade that exists today. We believe the system will in 3 to 4 years add more than $40 billion to annual inter-African trade flows. So in the very near future, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, we hope that a small trader in Uganda can buy South African wine paid for in Ugandan shillings while sitting in his small shop in Kampala. We expect that an Ivorian can pay for his holidays in Seychelles in CFA francs. That an Egyptian can sell his tickets to a Ghanaian in Ghanaian city in confidence that it will receive Egyptian pounds. We expect this platform to be transformative of the way Africa trades with itself. We've also completed the development of a national customer due diligence repository platform, which will make it possible for know your customer and anti-money laundering checks to be quickly done on counterparties, thereby reducing risk perceptions that hinder trade and financial flows into Africa. We are currently populating the platform with the help of the Central Bank of Egypt and other central banks. In addition, the Central Bank of Egypt is currently organizing training of African central banks and commercial banks so that everybody will be fully prepared to use this platform when fully launched. We expect that by the end of next year, the platform will hold over 500,000 data sets, making it the largest repository of customer due diligence information on African entities globally. very soon, excellencies, a Russian business person interested in doing business in Africa can sit in the comfort of his or her home and conduct due diligence tests on all his African counterparties. In addition, Your Excellency, the development of artificial intelligence-enabled trade information portal as well as trade and investment regulatory platform are in progress. We believe that these will go a long way in breaking down the barriers to trade caused by the fragmentation of our continent. And because we know that access to trade information is crucial, AfriSimbank launched an inter-African trade fair series to be held every 2 years. The first in the series was held in Cairo, Egypt in December 2018. And it was a tremendous success with Russian parties participating very actively. That trade fair attracted about 1,100 exhibitors from 45 countries and $32 billion in transactions were entered into. The second in the series of the trade fair will be held in Kigali, Rwanda in September 2020. We hope the Russian businesses will take advantage of that opportunity as they begin to work towards improving trade and investment relations with Africa. And to ensure that countries are supported to manage the fiscal revenue shock the continental free trade area may engender, we are in discussions with the African Union to arrange an adjustment facility in an amount of $1 billion to be available to countries in need. This facility will make it easier for countries to comply with their commitments on tariff concessions and make the CFTA more impactful. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, when we launched our inter-African trade strategy, we committed with us about $25 billion on a revolving basis over 5 years to 2021. As of today, I'd like to announce that up to about $8 billion have been disbursed in support of intra-regional trade. I will expect the figures to rise as more businesses are done. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, credit facilities have also been granted for the construction of border markets in Southern Africa, as well as for roads linking multiple countries in West Africa. We have made improving access to trade finance, especially trade services, a key element of our work. We cannot meaningfully hope to realize the fruits of the CFTA if there are no banks providing LC confirmation or other trade services in support of intra-African trade. We cannot also sit on our palms and watch our member countries suffer because their banks are unable to access correspondent banking services. AfriSimbank has therefore set itself the goal of granting trade finance and trade services lines amounting to $8 billion to 500 African banks spread across the continent by the end of 2021. About 320 banks have so far been onboarded into the program and work is continuing. I would like to encourage the central bank governors and central bankers here to encourage their banks to join this program. Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, in the area of financial performance, I'm pleased to report that total assets and contingent liabilities of the bank reached about $15 billion at the end of 2018, up 15% to $13 billion as of December 2017. Despite the impact of IFRS 9 implementation on profits, net income rose by 26% from $220 million in 2017 to $276 million in 2018, driven by a 19% increase in net interest income and a contained rise in expenses. Capitalization remains strong, with capital adequacy ratio at 25% on the back of an increase of 20% in shareholders' funds. Today, shareholders' funds and contingent equity, that is callable capital, are in an amount of about $3.5 billion. And based on the strong performance and the transformative initiative the bank implemented in 2018, it was voted the African Bank of the Year by the African Banker a few days ago. We owe the performance reported to the strong support shareholders and board of directors have given to management, as well as the hard work and commitment of our staff members. I would like to thank each and every one of them for making it possible for our present bank to report another good year. Permit me at this juncture to extend our appreciation to His Excellency President Vladimir Putin, under whose auspices these meetings are being held here in Moscow. I also like to thank His Excellency the Chairman of the Government of Russian Federation, Mr. Dmitry Medvedev, for joining us here and opening events. We thank His Excellency the Honorable Mr. Sergey Lavrov, Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs, as well as the Honorable Minister Denis Manturov, Honorable Minister of Trade and Industry of the Russian Federation. This event would not have been possible without their strong support and leadership. So thank you very much. We thank the Director General of Russian Export Center, Mr. Andrei Sklepnev, and his very hardworking colleagues for the true partnership that enabled us to overcome challenges and implement this event smoothly. Our deep appreciation also goes to Mr. Vitaly Machisky, Chairman of VI Holdings, and Mr. Dmitry Mazepin, Vice Chairman of Urakali Urakem, who have already started giving meaning and substance to the Russia-Africa Trade and Investment Cooperation these meetings are hoping to foster. Our appreciation also goes to our invited guests, many of whom are also our business and development partners. We are grateful to you all for coming despite your very busy schedules. The great and respected Russian poet Alexander Pushkin, who I alluded to earlier, and who has African ancestry, once said, and I quote, "For us people, so it seems to me, become good friends for sheer boredom." As I close, Excellencies, I will beg to modify that and say that from now on, Africa and Russia will deepen their relationship and friendship on the basis of business and more active interactions and investments. We look forward with hope to a brighter relationship between Africa and Russia, a relationship that will build on trust and mutual respect, and most importantly, relations that will bring economic prosperity for the African people and Russians alike. I thank you all for this.